Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to this episode of TechNet Radio. And today I got an exciting guest for us. I got an industry expert around storage and a well-known author. Mark, why don't you say hello to the folks, tell folks a little about who you are and what you do and all that fun jazz.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be here. I'm excited, very excited about doing this. I'm a senior product marketing manager for StorSimple inside Microsoft. We were acquired about a year ago, and it's been really interesting to go from a tiny little company to a large company. I've done that before. I was at Equalogic when it was purchased by Dell, and then I was at 3PAR when it was purchased by HP, and then StorSimple purchased by Microsoft. So I've gotten to see a lot of the industry. But I've been around storage for a long time. I've been in network storage since the early 90s. I was working on network backup and recovery technology with a little company called Palindrome. That eventually got bought by Seagate Software. Anyway, what people know me for is writing tomes like this, about 600 pages, a book called Building Storage Networks. Back in the day, there weren't any books describing SAN and NAS technology, so I took a crack at it. And I've been a blogger, I've been a Twitterer, done a variety of things, and now I'm at Microsoft working on marketing for StorSimple.
So really, what got you excited? I mean, you just saw a gap in storage, or what really kind of, I mean, we're, at the end of the day, I mean, with storage back in those days, oh, it's just a spinning drive, I mean, what really got you excited about it? Got you jazzed about storage?
Well, you know, a lot of people look at storage and they think it's dry as dust. I mean, there must be something. There's a few of us, though, in this industry that think it's really fascinating. I guess we're the hardcore storage people. It's where a lot of the action is, right? Everything runs on data that's stored. So it's got this critical element to it. It is completely mission critical, and there's something about that that's really appealing. I've always been intrigued by where the next thing is in storage. I've always been looking for that. With Equalogic, it was iSCSI. With 3PAR, it was a whole different kind of storage virtualization. And then with StorSimple, it was really this element of cloud integration and a really smart way of using the cloud. So I've just been drawn. I guess you hit it right on the head, Matt. Are you looking for gaps? Yeah. I look for gaps. I try to look for where the next excitement is in this industry, and it's taken me to where I am right now.
So when you think about this, and I know you just got a new book coming out talking about what hybrid cloud storage, because it gets into that conversation now about when we start using our store environments, what happens now that when we start, industries are starting to extend into the cloud. Are you seeing that more and more, and that's why we looked at writing that book, or what else do you see past that?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of an instincts type of guy, right? And so a few years ago, I was looking at, you know, so where's the next thing going to be? And of course, cloud is everywhere, right? It's hard to think about next without saying or thinking about cloud. And so I decided that was a technology that I wanted to be involved in, you know, involved with completely, you know, all in. Right, with cloud storage. Yep. So I did write this book. This one is a new one that I have out, Rethinking Enterprise Storage. It just came out on Microsoft Press. People can download it for free. There's free copies off Microsoft Press. You know, they can buy the book, spend $10, or they can get it for free as a download. It's available on Kindle, and you know, so it's we want to make sure that people can read it. But I think you know, for me about cloud and why I wanted to work on this book is it's hard to understand. I've always been interested in communicating nuances and trying to help people understand storage at a level that's deeper than just it's a bunch of disk drives. It's never a bunch of disk drives. It's always much more interesting than that. And there's a lot of details in it. And for people to really understand how to make it work, it helps them to understand those details a little bit more. So that's why I write. I write to try to expose that information so people can make better decisions about how to use things. So that was the point of Rethinking Enterprise Storage, just really try to help people out. Understand how cloud storage can be used in a way that's probably different than the way they've been thinking about it.
Well, and what is different about it? When you think about, you know, storage in the cloud, and maybe it's not just a bunch of drives, but really what makes cloud storage different than a NAS device, other than, you know, instead of a network storage that I have something on-premise, now I'm just leveraging the cloud. What kind of makes that different? Is it cost, speed? What is it?
Well, yeah, so let's go through some of those things. Cost, probably cheaper. You can go to stores probably and buy lots of disk drives yourself and maybe save some money versus cloud, but managing it, you'll spend a lot of time managing it. So cost, cloud is probably cheaper in a lot of ways. The problem, though, is that the speed is less, right? So performance is a lot less. So the question is, if you're going to use cloud storage, and when I say performance is less, I'm talking about between on-premises and the cloud. If you're running applications in the cloud, and it's not hybrid, my interest is in hybrid cloud, tying on-premises storage to cloud storage, right? Combining those two things. But if you're in the cloud, no problem. If you're doing this hybrid thing, then it's a little bit harder. It's slower. There's latency, right? You don't get the speed that you have with local storage. So that's not as good. But what you also have, though, is this almost infinitely expandable amount of capacity that doesn't cost you very much when you want to add a little bit. Unlike enterprise storage or business storage, when you want to upgrade capacity, or not want to, when you need to upgrade capacity, you have to add more than you need at a time, and it costs a lot, and it's really disruptive to the business. Yeah, and you end up playing games like Storage Tetris, where you move a little bit here to a little bit there, and you move things around, and it takes weeks of planning to do it well, and the consequences for screwing up are really heavy. They're really severe. I mean, you hear about it from every now and then, you know, when somebody screws up a storage move or a storage implementation, it's like, oh, systems go down, customers can't access data, you know, it's a real mess. So being able to expand storage incrementally in small bits to the cloud is a big advantage. The other thing that really, really works with cloud storage is that it's remote, right? So a lot of the problems of managing storage have to do with the fact that if you have a fire, an earthquake, some sort of site disaster or something like that, you need all your data somewhere else.
When you think about the cloud storage, I mean, I get the benefits of the remote and so on, but how do you allay some of the customer's fears around, hey, look, this is not on site. I don't have security here. If I don't have internet access, I can't get the cloud, or is it secure? I mean, we're having those conversations with IT pros today. What are some things that you kind of dissuaded? And we'll talk about the Store Simple, because I know it does a lot of really cool, exciting things to help mitigate some of that. But overall, what when you talk to a customer in general and say, hey, I want to put your data in the cloud, they go, not on your life. That's not secure. How do you address some of those concerns? Because we hear it every day, at least now.
Yeah, you have to take them straight on, right? What are the security mechanisms to have a cloud account? Can somebody come in and hack your account? So you have to step through those kinds of things. Customers have to be ready to maintain their own encryption keys, you know, their own security access. They have to be able to do that. But data that's encrypted in the cloud, certainly using strong encryption, helps a lot. Then there's also just the matter of how data is, if you will, munched up or obscured before it actually goes to the cloud. The stuff that, you know, for instance, Store Simple transfers to the cloud is not just raw data. It's already been deduped. It's been compressed. So there's a number of things that have gone on there. And certainly, you know, somebody that's good at hacking, you know, they can decompress something. Undeduping something is harder. But of course, the strong encryption, you know, we use AES 256. But it's not like cloud storage is necessarily more hackable than storage in a data center, right? People kid themselves, and you know, a lot, thinking that, you know, maybe what they're doing is safer. Really? I don't know, right? So it's security is always going to be an issue for cloud storage and hybrid cloud storage, but it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
So it boils down to storage is storage is storage. No matter where you put it, you have to do the same kind of things that you do on-premise to protect it, the same kind of things you would do up in the cloud to protect it, correct?
Well, it is a little bit additional stuff. When you transfer data to local storage, you typically, you may or may not be encrypting it on the array. When you move data from on-site to off-site for DR purposes, you probably want to encrypt it on tape. Right. So anything that goes to the cloud also needs to be encrypted before it's uploaded or while it's downloaded.
Okay, so it's kind of the same procedure. We're just going to a different kind of storage container in the sky to make that work. So tell me, where does StorSimple come into this? Why as a customer would I need that device? Why would I need a StorSimple device to talk to Windows Azure to help me with storage?
Well, you know, some of the things I touched on earlier, the capacity management, but also managing disaster recovery processes and procedures. Backup is broken in a lot of IT shops. So when I say broken, it takes a long time for administrators to manage it. There are capacity issues. If they're using tape, media management is such a pain. And, you know, it's not unusual for customer admins to be spending, you know, for certain admins, you know, there are some admins that do it full time, right? It depends on the size of the shop. But companies spend a fair amount of time administratively doing this, right? Is it 40, 50 hours a month? Is it 40, 50 hours a week? What is it, right? It depends on the size, but it's a lot. And IT leaders look at the time spent doing this and say, hey, this is not productive. This is not helping me get my business anywhere. This is just stuff that I have to do because I have to. And then those processes break, right? A lot of customers don't even get a chance to practice DR. It's way too disruptive to do. Right. Oh, I've got to have all this excess capacity here. I'm going to try to restore onto what? I don't have room for it. You know, can I even bring the tapes back? I mean, if you talk to customers and ask them when the last time they practiced a DR scenario, if they're being honest with you, they're going to say, I don't remember. Is it 3 years ago? What was it? Right. It's really, the situation is not good. Right. And so there are efficiencies that can be achieved by electronically doing these things to the cloud that make it possible to get that kind of work done, right? So, for instance, the way the StorSimple product works is we have what's called a deterministic thin recovery. And the idea is that all the data that goes to the cloud is all closely managed, sliced up into small little pieces, sent into the cloud. It's like putting together a mosaic up there, right? We know all the pieces that are there. When somebody has a disaster, you asked before, well, what happens if you lose your internet connection? Well, if you lose your internet connection with StorSimple, you can go to another location, another data center, and you can access the data in the cloud. One of the most powerful things about cloud storage is that it is really the centralized repository of what you have, right? So say I've got a fire in Fort Lauderdale, and I want to go to a Miami location. Well, if I've got a StorSimple system there, I can see all of my data. And the first thing that happens in a DR step is you download what's called the metadata map. And that's the mapping to all the objects in the cloud. And what's great about that is once you have the metadata map, you haven't downloaded the data yet, just the map to the data. Once the map is down, it's like a remote mount, applications and users can see everything they had. So you download the small map, and then you see everything, and as applications then want to open files or users want to open files, they only download the data that they need. And that means that, you know, for instance, on most file servers, the 95%, the 98% of the data that they don't need doesn't get downloaded, doesn't get in the way. So that's what I mean by deterministic restore. You restore the data, you only restore the data that you're going to use following a disaster. And that also means that you can practice DR because you're only downloading the data that is the highest priority so you can see how that works. It's a really great idea. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. So from a sense, it really provides that kind of that go-between, and it almost, for lack of a thing, I know a lot of storage arrays do storage tiering where they have a concept of hot data and cold data, and it sounds like this device is saying, okay, the hot data is going to reside something that I can get to locally, and all that cold data I'm just going to leave up in the cloud because downloading a 1 gig file that nobody ever uses, why would I even want to try to consume that bandwidth to suck down that file? But the alternative is that, what do we do when they do have that really large file that we need to get? I mean, you're kind of limited to whatever bandwidth you have bringing it down. So does StorSimple help mitigate some of those things with bandwidth?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. This is not a one-size-fits-all storage solution, right? So to mitigate bandwidth, it's really set up for SharePoint, for file shares, that kind of thing. This is not a solution for databases. This is not a solution for Exchange, for instance, right? Where there's a lot of churn in the data, right? If you're accessing a lot of the data, we call that the working set. If the working set is large and encompasses most of the data that you're storing, this is not a solution for you. But if the working set is relatively small compared to the bulk of data, this is an excellent solution. I want to get back to something. You triggered something in your question, Matt.
Limited bandwidth. Are we talking about 1 gig file downloading, hot storage, cold storage?
Yeah, one gig is not too bad. Yeah, so I was talking, you know, if you have big media files, for instance, that you're going to be accessing. I guess the biggest example, though, is databases. This is not a solution really for media serving. You know, it's fine if occasionally you've got to pull down media files, but it's not great if that's what you're trying to do and you're expecting a lot of people to access media from it.
Well, and that's where the Azure Media Services would probably come in and help them with that kind of CDN, content delivery network, when you're trying to just deploy that high-end streaming file that everybody's going to be accessing, right?
Yeah, there's other solutions for that. Yeah.
Especially with all the choices that are out there, when you think of some of the Dedup backup systems, some of the cloud gateways, some of the flash-based storage arrays that are there, there's a lot of other storage products. How does StorSimple compare into that space? Is it kind of own little niche? How do you position that with somebody who comes up and says, wait, there's no way that this device going to the cloud is going to outpace my SAN that I got sitting right next to me and right next to the server? And in reality, it does. How do you lay some of that? How do we compare StorSimple to some of those other devices that are in the market today?
Oh, you know, this has really been interesting. It's really, really fun. The engineering team at StorSimple did a great job. You know, people say, well, what about Flash? We've got Flash in our system, right? What about dedupe? We have primary dedupe. We've got compression. We talk about this as cloud integrated storage and hybrid cloud storage, and that's what we lead with. But we've had Flash in our system since the beginning, right? And this goes back a couple of years. A lot of people didn't have Flash. A lot of people don't even know that we had it. A lot of people didn't even know that we did primary dedupe. But this is where it's really cool, right? So we've got NVRAM and Flash. When new data comes into the system, it's not deduped. It's like writing to a write cache. But shortly thereafter, it goes through a dedupe process. Now, this is not the same kind of dedupe that you get with data domain. It doesn't have the same kind of ratios because we're talking about primary storage. You have to keep performance up, so you can't go through all the machinations that you might with backup dedupe. But we do dedupe the data, and this allows us to get a perform not a performance, but a capacity advantage locally, right? But then we also compress it, so it's deduped in Flash and it's compressed on the hard disk drives that we have internally. What's the other thing that's interesting is after it's deduped, all the deduped objects, and it's content addressable storage. So if you're familiar with dedupe, you know that you hash the stuff that you're deduping, you compare it to dedupe tables, and then you create a new dedupe hash, if you will. All these hash we call fingerprints, and the fingerprints are what gets backed up to the cloud. Right, so if you think about it, new data comes in, it's backed up to the cloud, and then that data ages. Now, for a lot of file data, SharePoint data, it's used in the first week, first 2 weeks, month, or something like that. But then thereafter, these Office files, they don't get used very much, or the old versions of a presentation, the old versions of a document, right? These things become dormant relatively quickly, right? And as this stuff becomes dormant, it moves from SSD to hard drive, and then eventually it moves to the cloud. But the thing that's interesting about it is we don't actually have to move it to the cloud at that point because it's already been backed up there and we know it. We know all of the objects that we already put in the cloud. So we just change the pointers to Azure Storage. And the data has the same name. It has the same content. It is the same data. It's just located in the cloud. We just change the pointer to it, as virtual storage does, to its cloud location.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's kind of almost a Jedi mind trick. Your data is here. This is the data you're looking for. In reality, it could be anywhere. I mean, it could be any either on that device locally or up in the cloud, and it's all based on that kind of dynamic dedupe. But I got to ask you, how does that work with Windows? Because in Windows Server 2012, we actually put dedupe into the actual OS. Can you dedupe our dedupe, and then you get a dedupe deduped?
It probably doesn't make sense to dedupe the dedupe. If you're using StorSimple behind Windows Server 2012, don't use dedupe in Windows Server 2012. We'll dedupe it. and we'll manage it both on premises and in the cloud.
Okay, so folks, as you're watching this video, I'm willing to bet that it's already been past October 18th, but as Mark and I are recording it, it is October 18th, and today we have actually a pretty big birthday. We had Windows Server 2012 R2 released today.
Yay!
I mean, we got a brand new server that has all kinds of great things from storage and so on,
and we have
a lot of stuff that's working with it. And talk about some of those things of how Windows R2 is kind of changing some of the new cloud stored offerings that we're going to have that we're integrating with Windows Azure, maybe some of the things about Hyper-V Recovery Manager, even Windows Azure Backup. I know currently Backup is in current technical preview up in Azure, but talk about how does that fit in what we do today, and how does StorSimple fit into that story as well?
Actually, I love this. This is some of the most fun stuff that I've been involved with is talking about and working on Hyper-V Recovery Manager and Windows Azure Backup. But the idea of Hyper-V Recovery Manager is that you've got a module that runs in the cloud, it runs in Azure, and it manages the recovery process. So you create the plan, the documents, but it's more than just a plan and documents. It's the ability to actually structure the recovery of Hyper-V VMs in another location by using a centralized site in the cloud. I mean, this is really a great breakthrough. I think it shows this concept of hybrid cloud management, right? Where the data's not in the cloud. The data was on a primary site. It maybe used Hyper-V replica to move it to another site, but it's the cloud management functionality that brings the data back up in the recovery site. And the thing that's important about that is, you know, when you've got a disaster, you're not sure where to go or how to get things done. Having the process in Windows Azure allows you to find that stuff from wherever you are. You know, the idea of centralizing management processes in the cloud is really powerful. Centralizing recovery processes in the cloud is a big deal. I think it's very exciting. So I'm excited about that. Windows Azure Backup, you talked about it. It's in preview. The idea there is that you create an agent that you run on the Windows Server 2012, and it interfaces with DPM, or it interfaces with the Windows Backup tool. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it's called. This is terrible. But in most cases, it's going to be DPM. It's like, so to DPM, it looks like a tape drive or a disk drive, but it takes care of moving the data up to Azure. So it's that nice piece of automatic integration that goes on there with DPM.
So does StorSimple help with that upload? How does StorSimple come in? If I'm using Windows Azure Backup directly, is it just something I just go directly from the server? Or will StorSimple do some of that caching to help me move that data up? Or does it get involved at all?
No, they're different solutions. StorSimple is primary storage for running applications on, file services on, that has backup and has capacity expansion in the cloud. Windows Azure Backup is for DPM, it's a backup solution for those machines. So they're really different. You wouldn't use both at the same time.
Okay, very cool. I was just kind of curious to see if there was a way we could kind of get the best of both worlds, kind of have the built-in tool just pass it off to StorSimple and it does all the work, but they are kind of different solutions. So I want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Yeah, and I'm glad I don't know what the direction of that is, so I can't, like, talk about it and make a mistake.
No, right? but we don't either.
but I will say this. I look at what Microsoft is doing in leveraging Azure, and with R2, Windows Server R2, you can see what they're doing with Hyper-V Recovery Manager and Windows Azure Backup. They're leveraging Azure, so I think it's pretty easy to look ahead and see. So how else could that use Windows Azure at some point in the future? And I'll just say this: it's pretty obvious that Microsoft is committed to using Azure for DR and storage purposes, and it's very exciting to be working on this stuff.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I'm trying to remember our executive, but there was a recent article in Redmond Magazine. I think it was Satya Nadella, who actually made a comment that 70% of the workloads in Azure right now are infrastructure as a service. That's right up our alley. I mean, that's essentially what storage is. It's an infrastructure as a service. It's one of the workloads that a lot of people and a lot of the customers I talk to are saying, hey, storage is one of the first things I want to dip my toe into the cloud. And then all of a sudden it opens up a whole another world What kind of things have you seen open up to customers when they start storing their data there? What other questions they start asking? It's like, hey, this is great. StorSimple's helped me out. What's the next step? What are they asking you about? Where do we go from there?
Well, we're still relatively new, and people are trying to figure out how to expand and take better advantage of it. But the places where it has had, I think, the biggest advantage is in companies that do a lot of archiving and document management, right? Engineering companies that have to keep versions of projects for contractual reasons or you know, other compliance purposes, right? And they've got this old data that they have to keep around on spinning disk and old file services. We've helped customers like reference customers Black and Veatch in Kansas City, and they say they've reduced the cost of that storage by 95%. 95%.
There's a 9 and a 5.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And the whole thing, right, is they've got a lot of this archive data, and I'm talking about archive data here. I'm not talking about all their stores. I'm talking about their archive data. And instead of keeping it on spinning disk, it goes to the cloud. And if they ever need it, they can get it. This is a dynamite solution for people that have big archives that are looking to reduce the cost of those. And so when somebody looks at that, they then start looking at where else in this organization do we have old data that we really don't need to keep anymore, but is clogging up the systems and is creating capacity issues for us, right? The thing that I like to say is that, you know, the capacity growth that we see, you know, IDC and EMC do a study every year, and it keeps coming back and saying capacity is doubling, or storage is doubling every 2 years. Data is doubling every 2 years. How do I keep this stuff, right? Do I just keep buying more and more storage? And it costs.
Well, I know how my doctor office keeps it. They have these really big filing cabinets. I think they just get new offices to feed all the filing cabinets that are there. But that brings up a question. The cloud is young, right? I mean, when you look at the cloud as a computing model, it's fairly young, and we're starting to get those HIPAA regulations and those SOCs. Is there anything that's StorSimple or anything advice that you can give when people say, well, what about HIPAA or what about those regulations that I have? If they're federal regulations, we're going to be covered under most of that. Have you run into any of those objections?
Yes, we are not. We don't do archiving per se. We just store the data in the cloud, right? Okay. So our solution doesn't really dip into the regulatory stuff. There are other applications that need to do that, and we store it. But we're not. We don't have extensions, for instance, for those applications. There need to be other management applications that do that. But we can certainly reduce the cost of some of the storage that goes along with that.
So really, and that's why I wanted to ask that question, because I was kind of curious to see if it did anything special to help with that, because what a lot of folks don't know, depending on the Azure workload that we have, it very well may be HIPAA compliant. We actually have up in the Azure environment a thing called the Trust Center that actually outlays all those certifications that we do have. So, folks, if you ask the StorSimple guy, they may say what just Mark said, hey, look, we don't really do that. We just store data. But what cloud service are you going to? Is the cloud service you're going to certified for those solutions? And Azure is getting a lot of industry first. We're the first kind of cloud service to get some of these regulations. You want to check out the Trust Center. And to plug an interview I did a while back with Mark Rusinovich, we talked about from a security and regulatory perspective, something you want to educate yourself on. So it may not be that device. Understand that when we start storing data, we're talking about storing data, and that cloud service has to be there.
Yeah, Mark Rusinovich, he's a smart guy.
Yeah, I'm glad he's on the Azure product group. That makes me sleep better. I mean, folks, he's forgot more about Windows and all kinds of fun things. I mean, you talk about a guy who sleeps, lives, and breathes security, and somebody who's helping protect and grow our Azure environment. I can't think of a better senior fellow or whatever his official title is in our company to really do that kind of stuff. So, Mark, it has been a pleasure having you on the call. Anything else that you want to – where do people get started? Is there some way we can get started with StorSimple devices, or where do they go if they're excited to say, oh, I got to have that device? What do we do? Where do we send them?
The easiest way is www. Did I say three or four of those? You know, it's the 3ws.microsoft.com/StorSimple. And there's no E at the end of store, so it's StorSimple. And that takes us to the website of Microsoft, and that's the best place to find it. Otherwise, get this book.
And we'll make sure we'll have the link for the free download. But if you want to waste $10 and get the paperbound book, Mark would more appreciate that as well, correct?
Actually, no. I get no royalties on this book, the other books I did. But, yeah, this was a mercenary effort while employed at Microsoft. And so no royalties come to me. But so get the free book. Get the free book in droves.
Awesome. Well, Mark, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. To everybody watching and listening, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of TechNet Radio. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.